I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 261. Jumping right in. It's two Furby stories. Good morning, you lovely ladies. Of course, I love you both and figured I would do my part in making sure we got stories to be told. Story one of these crazy, unpredictable Furbies. Little creepy creatures, not a fan. It was Halloween in the early 2000s, maybe even 2000 now that I think of it. Kids were loading and unloading in the van for our door-to-door extravaganza. My nephew had one of those creepy things, and my sister didn't like it either, and it stayed out of the van because my nephew absolutely loved that thing. He gets in the van with his skeleton makeup on and picks up that thing while it was going through its doodle bobbing. That's what we call gibberish. Anyway, it blinked and looked at him, closed its eyes real quick, and said clear as day, "Ooh, scary monster." My sister said, "Let me see that." She tossed it out the window. I know, not super scary, creepy little creatures. Story two. My cousin and I were roommates, both single moms trying to make a living raising our babies. I was just around 20 and she was just 18. She had one of those, creepy little creatures. No batteries because it was creepy. She kept it because her dad had gotten it for her. He sat on a shelf. One girl's night, we had a few friends over. They were smoking the devil's lettuce. We were talking and being young, and a silence fell over everyone. And all of a sudden, the critter with no batteries popped his eyes open and said, "Ooh, so pretty." When I tell you, I let out a scream that concerned our downstairs neighbors enough to open their conjoined door at the bathroom of my stare and holler up. I told her if she insisted on keeping that thing, it was going to her mother's house. No way in hell I was allowing it to remain in the apartment. I know it's not super scary stories, but I heard that story about the Furby and wanted to share. A lot of very sinister things happened in that apartment. I'll write them soon and send. Thank you, ladies. I just love you both so much. Donna, I was crying my eyes out over Marley at work hearing you talk about it. I cried when I saw your Facebook page as well. I'm so sorry. Much love to you both. Keep on creeping on. Carrie. Yes, you can say my name. Like, their name is Carrie. Just with one R, not two. So you almost spell it like me.
Almost is cool. Those are super creepy. Like when you said that it said that, well, that when you said that it said.
About the face, about the creepy, about the scary.
Who are we, Furbies?
Let's just try this again. When it said that about the skeleton face.
Especially if you've ever had a Furby, because you know when it's saying the gibberish and if it's in that like little like quote unquote infancy and it's. It doesn't have the words and shit. So, like, for it to pop up that, what? And then also, the second story, it was very, like, on brand. Like, y'all were having a girls' night and doing all that. And then it was like, ooh, pretty.
But why are they so creepy? Wait, did they, what did you say? They speak gibberish and then learn words? Like, yes. They grow up?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, and if you had two Furbies, they could speak to each other.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do they learn words from you?
I don't know. Mine didn't last that long.
Or are they just programmed to like, I'm 6 months old. Let me start speaking real words.
I don't fucking know.
I never had one. Oh my God. I did not know that they started out with gibberish.
Yes. It was like, you know, that kind of shit.
What the fuck? Those creepy things just got so much creepier.
Yes. But, like, you had to be diligent with it. And I was, you know, like, hooked on it for, like, 2 weeks. And then it stayed in that hutch that my mom had until we finally threw it out or gave it to someone.
I don't want any toy that I have to be fucking diligent with.
Girl, I used to love Tamagotchis, too. But once it died, I was like, I don't want to put that much effort into something else. And, yeah, share all the stories. Keep sending them in. Please, please, please. Also, though, I just want to know what colors were the Furbies? Mine was black, and I think it had blue or green eyes.
I think we had this, I think it was a Chewbacca toy, and every time we talk about Furbies, I think about this toy, and it had, like, a purple cloak that it wore. That's all I can think about. So I honestly can barely pick.
Are you thinking Ewoks?
Yes.
Okay.
But Furbies kind of looked like a gremlin, right?
Yeah. See, this is why we're good at games together. I get you.
You really do.
Okay, the next one. Hi, ladies. My name is Melissa, and I am your neighbor from a county south. Yes, you can share my name. Maybe my story will offer comfort. I don't share this story often, and I definitely never planned on sending it to y'all, but with Donna's recent loss, hugs love, maybe this will ease her heart a little. Sorry in advance, I am typing on a cell phone. 2018 was probably one of the worst years on record for my family. On January 19th, my dad passed away unexpectedly while mowing the grass. My mom found him when she was leaving to go grocery shopping. I was a daddy's girl, suddenly planning his funeral because my mom couldn't. 4 months later, my mom was diagnosed with metastatic colon cancer, stage 3C, and clear cell renal carcinoma. It was a punch in the gut. Working 45 hours a week, traveling 200 miles minimum a week for doctor's appointments, I was surviving on caffeine, cigarettes, and cuddles for my bestest girl ever, Risky. R-I-S-K-Y, because you know I'm terrible with my R's and my W's. I don't want y'all to think I'm actually mispronouncing the dog's name. In September of 2018, I got sick. Urgent care, I go. I'm a woman, so of course it must be a UTI. But then Risky started showing her age. I upped her painkillers, and then I went back to my doctor. Got a different round of antibiotics, took my mom to chemo, and in general, just kept plodding along. In November of 2018, I was forced to make the decision of quality versus quantity of life for the true reason my heart was still beating. On Black Friday, my girl had all the Hershey Kisses she wanted, Whataburger for lunch, and a small chocolate malt. The following day, I was back in urgent care for my third round of antibiotics. Side note, it wasn't a UTI. December 3rd, I was admitted to the Coast Hospital in liver failure, with a gallbladder stone lodged in my bile duct. On December 8th, I was released, minus a gallbladder. Sunday, December 8th, around 4:30, I started feeling funny. Not bad at all, just funny. Passed out a few times and then went back to the hospital. Things you've never seen in medical dramas, like hanging blood bags with blood pressure cuffs on them, pumped up to push the blood faster. My spleen had been nicked and I was bleeding out. That got me a helicopter ride to NOLA, a perfectly shaved bikini line, thanks to Lane Cath Lab, and a story. They tried to do an experimental procedure to save my spleen, but that wasn't successful. 6 hours later, I was bleeding out again. I was taken back to surgery. I had the most amazing dream. And I'll be honest, yes, there was a light. No, I didn't have a life review. But what I did have was time with my aunt, my grandpa, my dad, and Risky. Kinda. My dad and his sister were behind me arguing about how and why I was there. Risky was underneath the table I was sitting at with her head in my lap. And all of a sudden, she bit me, that little shit, and I woke up. The next day, my ICU nurse noticed a dog bite on my thigh that required treatment, and I hadn't been around a dog in weeks. I was unresponsive for almost 8 minutes due to blood loss. No DNR on file, so here I am. Since then, I've lost 3 more dogs, Morgan, Zephyr, and Jamie. I do not mourn them because I know the bridge is real, and they will meet me at the other end one day soon. Oh, and on April 21st, 2023, my mom was declared cancer-free.
Golly.
We are so sorry for your loss. Your losses. Because holy shit, that's so much.
That's amazing about your mom, though. And thank God the Rainbow Bridge is real because I need to see Beau again.
Yes. Which, okay, so now the last two, it must be that time that Marley passed. And it's kind of interesting that I'm trying to foster right now. And like, I'm in the last stage of being like either accepted or
vetted.
Not accepted. Yeah, vetted. That's a word. Like just today, she emailed me and was like talking about like the distance I'm willing to travel and, you know, things like that. So I don't know. It's just kind of a coincidence. But could it be, you know, Marley being like, yeah, this is right.
Not to jump the gun here, but the next story is from a Jamie, and that was one of your dog's names.
Oh my gosh.
And they said we could say their name. I scrolled to check. And so I just thought that was interesting. Well, before we get into any more stories, we got to talk about PROS. And if you've never heard about PROS, look, sit back, relax, and let us tell you. Pros is custom hair and skincare, and it is literally made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your specific needs.
Because Lord knows I need volume, I need strength, and I like an earthy smell to my scents.
Earthy is not a word I would use to describe you, but you do like the way it smells.
I do. And we all know Carrie has completely different hair than I do.
You know? I was going to say, I need to tame this mane and don't need any more volume and got the curls.
Got the curls, exactly. But this is what's so great about Pros is that we can both buy from the same company, but it's completely tailored to us.
Pros looks at over 80 factors to complete the view of your life and your beauty goals. It's so personal. They ask about your diet, your exercise, your stress levels, all the different aspects of your life that will affect your hair and your skin, but you may not even think about. They're taking those things into account. Like literally stuff like they want to know your zip code because they look at how hard is the water where you live. And that helps mold the customization that Pros does for you.
Right. Like free radicals, all the things.
Okay. Free radicals. And what you end up getting is a one-of-a-kind formula that is truly just for you.
Also, once you have your formula, they have a complete personalized full routine. Like, here you go on your shampoo, conditioner, but also here's a hair mask. Here's something else you might need. Hey, here's some dry shampoo that, again, is formulated for your hair.
And again, it's not just hair, it's skincare as well. And when you're answering the questions about like your lifestyle, what your hair is like, all of that, I like that it gives you pictures because sometimes with curly hair, I'm like, what curly am I? And like, you can kind of see the pictures to be like, okay, this is the curl that I have, or this is kind of the thickness of my hair, or, you know, all that. Like they had all of the options. It really did match up to what my hair is.
Did she still ask me to pick? Yes.
Yeah, but it was still there. I was like, I knew what it was, but like, I just, you know, needed confirmation.
Uh-huh. Codependency,
yes,
right there.
Very much so.
Also, I love the pump that it comes with because it's just so much easier because the other shampoos I've had, you know, you have to pick them up and pour them out and all. And I know that's silly, but it's just so much easier to have it on my shelf and ready just to pump two times and it's right there. And also, it's very aesthetic. I'm like, okay, looking fancy over here.
Right. I got my new little shelf that I put up in my bathroom, and it is perfect for my bottles.
And this is no joke, but since I've been using Pros, like three people have said that they've liked my hair because it actually has had more volume.
And Pros is so confident that you'll love your results. They're offering y'all an exclusive trial so that you can see the difference custom care can make. Right now with Pros, if you go to pros.com/creep, you are going to get 50% off your first subscription.
That's Pros, PROSE.com/creep, CREEP, for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formula.
Try it for yourself and get healthier hair in 30 days or your money back. Head on over to pros.com/creep for 50% off. Okay, the next one. Hello, Carrie and Donna. I have to start out like everyone else and say that you are amazing and you feel like two friends I have known my whole life. I forget that other people around me don't listen sometimes and don't know who y'all are. For my first story, I thought I'd give you some background. I met Travis when we were 14 and it was love at first sight. My young heart never knew what hit it. We dated as teenagers for a few minutes, but citing long distance, 40 minutes, I broke up with him to explore my options. We decided to remain friends. Through the years, we saw each other here and there and life was moving quickly and we were working and going to school. He was dating every girl named Tracy he could find, but our love for each other was still very apparent when we would get together. Fast forward a few years, and we had lost track of each other. My life had changed through an abusive relationship and the death of my mother. His had changed from a failed marriage and a secret drug addiction. We still had such strong feelings for each other and wanted to give our relationship a chance, until I found out about the addiction. I had to leave as a girlfriend so he could get his life together, but would always be there as a friend. After a few rehabs and years, he was finally in recovery. He was doing well and had opened a successful business and wanted to make things work this time. It was like heaven on earth, from March until August. We shared so much in those few months that we never thought possible. On August 16th, Travis came to my house as usual, and we planned to spend time with my family. After they left, we stayed up late talking for hours about what happens to you when you die. He was a science solves everything type of guy. I'm more of a spiritualist. He said that when he dies, he will find my mom in a black hole and catch her up on my life if her consciousness isn't already with me. After that talk, we went to bed. He had plans to golf in the morning with my brother-in-law, and I am always ready to sleep. Morning comes, and he doesn't want to get up and go. Since my brother-in-law was already there, I decided to go golf in his place. While we're golfing, I'm making jokes and getting anxious because I haven't heard from Travis yet. In my best Blanche voice, I said, "We better get home because it's going to be 90 degrees and I don't want a dead man lying around my house." My brother-in-law dropped me off and all hell broke loose. Travis was unconscious on my couch. He had overdosed and was actively dying. The ambulance came and took him after 10 minutes of me doing CPR. He never woke up again, and I had to go to the hospital to say goodbye. As devastating as all of that was, I needed to try to get some sleep the next day. As I was dozing off, I heard the front door open and close. I saw Travis walk through my room, and when I said, "What are you doing here?" all he said was, "I miss you already," and laughed. That was one of the things we would say every day to each other. I would have thought I was dreaming, but I heard my door to my room open and close, and he was gone. After that, I was back to being visited by the sleep paralysis demon that I met when I was a child. I'll write more about that and living in the house of death alone for 4 months. Sorry this was so long. Creep it real and don't get scared unless it's of people in mascot costumes. Jamie from Michigan. Damn right about those fucking mascot costumes. They scare the shit out of me.
1,000%.
But I do like taking pictures of them from afar. Just don't get too close. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yes.
God, that is heartbreaking. That's so something I would do about it being 90 degrees, you know? Because, I mean, literally, how could you have known?
You couldn't have. And I hate that. But I'm so glad that y'all had, like, such a life together, even if it was through friendship and on again, off again. Like, y'all were in each other's lives for a reason.
Absolutely.
Okay, the next one. Driveway Chicken. Good evening, ladies. I found your podcast before the pandemic hit, and I've been listening ever since. I have a 45-minute drive to work, and you keep me company along the way. Sinister sightings are my favorite things to listen to, so I feel like I need to contribute to help them keep going. In 2004, we lost my husband's mother after her second battle with cancer. It was a hard road as we were preparing for our wedding just 5 months later, and we had not lost hope that she would make a recovery and be with us on our special day. In her last week, it had become obvious that she would not be with us much longer. We would spend evenings at the house, even though I was working an hour and a half away and my husband was attending college 45 minutes away. The day we lost her was filled with mixed emotions of sadness, with a small feeling of relief that she was no longer suffering. All of us returned to the house feeling a desperate need for connection and loss of what to do with all of our emotions. Close family friends had made plans to swoop in with dinner in large disposable casserole pans, but had no intention to stay. These two beautiful women had made a second pan for their two families to share and eat together back at one of their houses. Problem is, delivery did not go as planned. With what we had always blamed on a spirit's nudge, the chicken ended up all over the driveway being consumed by the two standard poodles in the house. Both profusely apologized, saying that they would return with the second pan. We convinced them that if they were to bring it, that we wanted and needed them to stay. The remaining smaller pan fed at least 10 of us that evening, and their companionship provided exactly what we needed in that moment. For years, we felt like my dear mother-in-law had given them a small push, knowing that we needed them there in that moment. The story does not completely end there. About a week later, my now husband and I returned to the house to visit with his dad. Upon entering the house, we heard his mom calling to the dogs, who seemed to respond to her voice. Both of us feeling like we were losing it, we didn't mention it right away. Later that evening, as we were turning in, He turned to me and mentioned it. I immediately responded that I had heard the same thing. That was the last time either of us remember hearing her voice or having an encounter like this one. It'll be 20 years, and I often wonder what she would think of her grandkids. I look back on that first evening without her and know that she had a hand in helping us find a connection that evening when losing her felt so unbelievably raw. S.
I can tell you there is one thing that my mother-in-law would never damn do, and that is something with a dog after she passed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's not a dog fan. Except for they had one dog that she would finally let sit next to her because one time she dropped, I think it was like the lid or something to her nail polish remover because she always did her toes on the porch. And the dog went underneath the porch and brought it to her. And she was like, all right, you cool. You could stay.
I mean, I'd be the same way. I'd be like, oh, I didn't have to get up. Perfect. Yes.
But I love that she knew exactly what y'all needed and made sure that you got it.
Yes. Also, those poodles needed it too.
Meanwhile, the poor lady sprained her ankle and scratched her knee or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But man, funeral food is just, it just hits different.
It does.
It's so good. Why is eating so good around death? Except for, I get tired of funeral chicken though. And people just always bring in like Popeyes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I remember one time we went to this funeral and they just had like a meat and cheese tray like to make sandwiches. And those were the best damn sandwiches. Why? Maybe, I think grief makes you hungry.
Yeah.
Well, it makes some people not eat, but it makes me hungry.
Yeah. Well, but what's weird is that with my mom, with my dad, hell, with my sister, like, it really was comforting. Like, oh, okay, like, we're all sitting around, we're all doing that. But when I lost Marley, like, it wasn't that way. Like, Colby was the first person to make me laugh when he was at my house, like, really laugh. Mm-hmm. Because he weighed on my scale and it talks to you. And no one knows that it talks to you until like you're like on it and you're like broadcast your weight. But afterwards it says like ready for operation. Like it means like you can step on it again. And yeah. He was like, damn, your scale just told me I needed to get gastric bypass or whatever. And it was so fucking funny. But like through that eating and the food was good. It yeah. just was like, I was too sad.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you can either be like either mm-hmm. or, because I have been like, no, give me all the food, all the comfort food. But in that moment, it was like, no.
Yeah, we needed to eat too, because it was like when we left there, it was like 3 o'clock and we hadn't had lunch or anything. And we both had like crying and hunger headaches.
Yes. Like I legit think we were dehydrated.
Oh, yeah. Also, sorry we made your story about us.
It's what we do.
Okay, the next one. This is long, so I'm going to jump right in. All three of these stories are from the same house. Right from the get-go, I didn't feel warm and fuzzy in the house. I'd moved in with my then-boyfriend, now husband, who had previously bought the house with an ex. Always figured that was the reason for my uncomfortable feelings in the home. Over a couple of years, we had renovated or redecorated almost every room of the house, hoping it would feel more like home to the both of us. We just didn't find that vibe. We celebrated our marriage and the birth of our two kids while living in that house, but it still didn't feel like home. I felt just like a house or just a structure and nothing more. Even though our family filled it with love and activity, it just never reflected those feelings, if that makes any sense. During this time, we had a few interesting occurrences that are worth mentioning, and this is where the story begins. You know those warehouse lifts that can lift a pallet up to a top shelf? We had one of those in our garage just outside of the doorway from the house going into the garage. For some reason on this day, the forks were up high, like about 4.5 feet high. Oh, I should mention I'm 5'2". I had to go into the garage to get something and I was in a rush because I was on my way out. As I opened the door into the garage, my head was filled with everything that I had to do that day. I was not paying attention to my surroundings. I opened the door, took one step down into the garage, and was heading straight into one of the forks. It was about mid-face level. Before I knew it, I felt slight pressure on my chest and the upper half of my body bent backwards. I don't even think it's physically possible to maneuver my body in that way on my own. I was still walking when these fancy-ass Neo moves took over my body. I had walked slash limboed right under the fork before I realized what my body was doing. Once I realized what the fuck was going on, I immediately sat my ass on the dirty garage floor without a care of what I may be sitting on. My heart was beating a mile a minute. When I looked up, I realized what had just happened and what could have happened. And then I realized that it had felt like a hand pushing me backwards. I wholeheartedly believe it was some sort of spirit that was protecting me from forking up my face. With that realization, I felt an instant calm wash over me, and without even thinking about it, I instinctively said out loud, "Thank you. I don't know who you are, but thank you." I couldn't stop thinking about this incident for days and finally mentioned it to my skeptic husband. He actually said, "Wow, that sounds like something stopped you." He left it at that and changed the subject. He never again admitted that he responded that way. He will now say he told me I was being silly and I must have seen it and just reacted. But I'm telling you, there was no way in hell I could bend like that. Those were not natural body movements, and I'm sure as hell not a ninja. Story number two. My middle son began having night terrors around 4 years old. He would be screaming and crying hysterically. We would go in to comfort him, but he was inconsolable. The way he looked at you was if you weren't there. There was no acknowledgement of your presence or any emotion in his eyes. It was an uncomfortable stare. This happened every couple of months for 2 to 3 years. One night we heard him and we knew it was one of those nights. So I went up to him and sat on his bed and just held him as I always had. I told him everything was okay. It was all a dream. He would wake up soon to see that mommy and daddy and his brothers and sister are all here and we love him and he's safe. That time was a little different. He was sweating so much his hair was wet. When he came to and woke up, he looked around the room and realized where he was and who was there and began to calm down. He said he was hot, so he took off his pajama pants and his long sleeve pajama top and put him in a cooler pair of jammies. I noticed a red mark near his ankle. It kind of looked like a handprint, but not matching any size of a hand in our house. It was long and seemed to be 3 fingers on the top of his leg and a thumb underneath. Very strange. His headboard and footboard did have vertical rungs, so I thought maybe he had pressed his leg against the footboard. Yeah, that makes sense. It has to be the footboard. I put his leg against the footboard, and no, the rungs were too wide apart to have possibly made those red marks. Now, this was before everyone had smartphones in their pockets, so went downstairs, got my camera to take a picture before it faded away. I took the picture, and you could clearly see the finger impressions. He said it didn't hurt, and he didn't know how it got there. When I showed Mr. Super Skeptical, he looked at the picture, looked at his actual leg, then checked the footboard rungs just as I had done. He knew right away that it didn't match the lines on his leg. He looked at me and said, "Weird." He gave our son a big hug and asked him about his dream, to which he said, "I don't remember." He never could remember those night terrors at all. He tucked him in tight for the night, and off to sleep he went like nothing had happened. I'm so glad that he was never affected by those night terrors. He's now 20 and doesn't remember having them at all. I have the photo on a hard drive somewhere, and I've been meaning to look for it for years, but never actually got around to it. Maybe writing this will light a fire under my ass to get up and go find it. I could keep going all day with these stories, but I will stop at lucky number 3 for now. Story number 3. I had a home daycare for almost 10 years and truly treasured nap time. I would tidy up the toys and clean up the lunch mess and then just sit and relax for a few minutes. No TV, no radio, no squawking babies or bickering toddlers. Just 10 to 15 minutes of quiet time before I had to start getting shit ready for when they woke up. My mom would come by once in a while to help me out or just hang out to keep me company. One afternoon on a perfectly average day, as I sat to enjoy my quiet time, I heard Leanne in my mom's voice. Clear as day at the volume, which made me think that she was in the next room calling out for me. I thought to myself, that's strange. I didn't know she was coming today, and I did not hear the door open. I got up and walked towards the room I'd heard her voice in, and she wasn't there. I looked all over the main floor of the house, even calling out to her. I even went as far as to look in the bedrooms, as if she would be hiding in there, but I had to look. She was not in my house. So I decided to phone her at her house, a landline, and she answered. My jaw dropped as I heard her voice say, "Hello." She was at her house, 20 minutes away from my house. Stories number 4 and 5 and many more to come later. Just in case you nosy bitches are wondering, being a nosy bitch myself, I would be. No, we did not live there any longer. We were there for 13 years and never did find that feeling that we were looking for. Our current home is full of that feeling and we're so happy there. That's not to say I don't have any stories from this house. I do. Also, yes, doing home daycare for almost 10 years drove me to drink. Today is December 15th, if anyone's wondering. Fun fact, my last story was sent on November 15th. The paranormal chick of the North, Leanne from Canada. I hope it's Leanne. It's L-I Anne. So I hope I pronounced your name right. I think I said home care the first time, even though I was literally reading home daycare. But anyway, you can tell I deal with adults and not kids. There's literally no way I could actually do that.
No.
You never get a break. Like, what if you want a vacation?
No.
What if you're sick?
When you said that you could sit there for 15 minutes, mm-mm, I was like, wait, what?
What if you have diarrhea?
Oh, God.
I want to know what the fuck grabbed your son's ankle. And let me just tell you, in my head, I had this entire different plot line that your husband, when you said that he looked at the ankle, I thought you were saying that he looked at his ankle and he had the same scratches. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, that ain't how it went though.
Also, I want to know if you know what she's talking about when she said that she like had those Neo moves.
Yeah. That was the guy from it.
From yeah, what?
From the Matrix. She even said the Matrix moves.
Okay.
I watched the Matrix.
Did you?
The first one.
Oh.
Who's the guy? Didn't he have glasses? I made the glasses up.
I don't know. I mean, Keanu Reeves, but...
Yeah, not I'm him.
Sure he...
Keanu Reeves wasn't Neo, right?
Yes, he was.
Oh, I thought Neo was the other guy.
Lawrence Fishburne?
Him, yeah.
He did have the glasses, but I don't think that was Neo. Neo was Keanu Reeves. Because, you know, like, he went backwards. He did the...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wrong. Morpheus was the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Thank you, Google.
Also... We really don't plan to make y'all scream at us with the answers y'all know that we don't know. It just happens that way because I'm sure everyone was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, we suck real bad.
Yeah. When you said forking up your face.
I died.
That was fantastic. One other thing. Did you have a name for your daycare? That's what I thought you were going to say about the nosy bitches thing. Like, and yes, my daycare was named this. And I was like, well, she doesn't know me at all.
Littles with Leanne.
Love that.
You come up with one.
Terrible.
You're always good at this. I mean, sans a paranormal chicks. Meanwhile, she's like, my name's not Leanne. It's Lianne.
Leanne's lullabies. I don't know.
Or Leanne's littles.
Yeah, that's cute. Open it back up, Leanne.
She's literally was driven to drink. No.
Okay, y'all, the last one. Howdy, y'all. Jasmine here from Texas.
Well, that was a good one.
I almost got it back.
Cut to the next episode and you can't say it.
From Texas. So this is the funniest thing. When I started listening to you guys, my coworkers used to ask me what I was listening to, and I always told them a Paranormal Chicks. And they would always tell me that they couldn't find the podcast. Well, it turns out that they were typing it in as a pair of normal chicks. Anyways, let's jump into it. Cue 5 seconds ago when Carrie was saying that about the name. Well, apparently I do suck. It's been a while since I've written in. I now have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
We've been doing this podcast that long.
When I got pregnant the second time around, my son used to tell me that there were 2 babies. And there were, in fact, 2 babies growing in my belly. I just didn't know it yet. I lost one of the babies early on at 14 weeks. They just couldn't find a heartbeat, but my little girl made it full term. I don't know how my son knew that I was carrying 2 babies, and somehow after I came home from the hospital with 1 baby, he used to tell me that there were still 2 babies and count 1, 2. But every time he counted the second baby, it was right next to me. I took it as he was confused, but I couldn't help but cry because I didn't understand how or why he was saying that. Several months later, my daughter is a little older and we have an upstairs loft with battery-operated toys, and one of them would occasionally go off. It was really strange because the sound that it was making would only happen if someone were to touch a certain button, like you had to physically touch it in order for it to make that sound. We're a small family, so if we're all downstairs, there's no reason for anyone to be upstairs. So my husband started joking and saying that was our twin son playing with the toys again. I was convinced it was a joy as I had dreamed to hold him, My daughter turned a year in November, and she was sleeping in her crib, and in the mornings, I grab her from her bed, and I bring her into our bed. I had to get up from the bed because I remembered I had to make a phone call in the morning, so I left the room. I took the monitor with me, and I'm sitting in the loft area and waiting to get on the phone with the doctor's office when I glance at the monitor, and I see a little boy sitting up. I ran over to the room thinking that she had woken up, but she was fast asleep. I came back to look at the monitor and to make sure that I wasn't just seeing things or if the monitor was capturing someone else, you know, cross-signal, but it was in fact my bedroom. I was able to take a picture, not sure if anyone else sees it, but there is a figure shaped like a little boy sitting with his hands placed on the comforter, just as my son used to do when he was that small. Let me know if you guys see anything. My daughter usually waves and smiles, but the creepy part is that no one's around, or at least I can't see anyone. I've attached two photos. Both my husband and I can see a little boy sitting at the center of the bed. Let me know what you think.
I tell you what that looks like to me. It looks like a kid laying down in child's pose.
Oh, shit. Carrie just drew it for me because I was like, where? But yes.
Thank God for iPhones and being able to like mark stuff up. I don't see what looks like a kid sitting there, but it really does look like a kid's like laying there in child's pose.
Yeah, now I can't unsee what Carrie showed me, but I really don't see a kid sitting up. But also, I'm really bad picturing kids, like, because I don't know how old you're talking about. And honestly, I'm really terrible at ages. So unless you say it's like a newborn, then I get the size reference, but I have no idea. But, ugh. I'm glad you got to capture something, though. I think it's sweet now looking back that your son was saying that, because your baby was with you, but he was beside you.
Yeah.
Another thing, on your baby monitor, it says 68 degrees. Was that inside your house or outside?
I hope inside, because that would feel good.
Oh my God, that'd be so cold. That's only good if I have like some hot pizza and a lot of cover around me. I don't know why, but the hot pizza just makes it good when it's cold.
What the fuck? The eyebrows that I just gave her, like... Hot chocolate, like hot tea, coffee.
No, because like I don't like that. I don't like hot liquid. Okay, picture it. Me and Tiffany, we were like 13. And, you know, what do you do when you can't drive to the mall? Your mom takes you. What can you do if you don't have money or you can't fit into any of the clothes at the mall? You buy coffee. And me and Tiffany had bought coffee and it was around Christmas time. And it was a white chocolate mocha. And my mom's car, it was a Buick, but we called it a Uick because it was missing a B. And basically, that should tell you all you need to know about that car. And my mom pumped on the brakes real hard. I don't know if like it skipped, whatever. My tongue got singed on that fucking mocha and it done me in. All right. Not did
all
me
right.
in, but done me in.
All right.
So from 13.
Okay, Matthew McConaughey. We got it. Shit.
I do not like hot anything like that. I like warm cocoa.
Okay, warm, hot, tomato, tomato. Fuck it, pizza?
Yeah, pizza. Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Like soup?
No, again, it's too hot.
A nice pasta?
Well, but that's pizza.
Okay, it's okay. Pizza? The fuck?
Because the ooey cheese. So good.
Okay. Thank y'all for listening and introducing us to Donna's pizza cravings. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.